This is short. So you guys can hang with me for just a minute. Remember, we've got through the birth of Jesus. We got through the Trinity. Don't remember that one? That was heavy duty, you know? That's deep, deep and mysterious and true stuff. The Trinity, the triune God. We talked about Jesus among the sages when he was like 12 years old. Remember when his parents were looking for him? He ended up in the temple. And next week, we're going to enter into that really interesting section of how Jesus was tempted, legitimately, really tempted by Satan. But we're going to wrap this up with this. So there's a span of time from when Jesus was 12 until he was 30. That's a pretty long time. At least when you're living it this long. When you look back, it was like... So it's time for Jesus now to begin his public proclamation, his public ministry, his intense 3 years. I mean, it's going to shake the world. It's going to shake every single person that's ever lived before or after. It is, these 3 years that you could say are going to be the most important time that ever was and ever will be in earth time. But something has to happen first, before Jesus begins his ministry. So it's like, wow, this must be pretty important. It must be something that impacts not just that day, but must impact us today too. And so John the Baptist is going to, we already looked at that. He was prophesied. It's like, that's one of the coolest prophecies to me. It's just so, like, in Malachi, you know, it's like, there's no, the Jews knew it, but everybody knew it. Pagan people knew that that was true. John the Baptist was prophesied. They knew he was coming. They knew he was coming. And so John the Baptist came and he had this message. He said that the Anointed One had arrived. Now this created quite a stir in not just the Jewish people, but in anybody that heard about it. And so let's go to Matthew 3, 1 and 2. So read along with me. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. So here, this is not just Malachi, but in Isaiah. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." So, he came with this message of baptism. Now, this is a loaded word. So, this word that in the English really is a transliterated Greek word, and it means to identify. And so, it's important to get an understanding of this word because we're not going to go into the full meaning and depth of baptism this morning. That's going to come later. This is foundational even to that. This is foundational to understanding baptism. So, the people of this era, they understood this word baptism, and you guys have heard this before, haven't you? Where there's, this is the in the textile industry, and it was huge in the Middle East, and it still is huge in the Middle East. That they would take this, let's say it's a white piece of wool, and they would dye that. They're going to dye it red. The way they would do that is they would actually dip it. They would dip it into the dye, and they would pull it out. And it's now no longer white. It is red through and through. It is red. It's now identified, instead of with the color white, it's identified with the color red. And so that whole process of the dipping, the pulling out, and the identification, it was called baptism. Everybody understood that. So when John the Baptist would come to him, and he would baptize them, what they were saying was, "John, what you have said is true. It pierces me to my very core. It pierces my heart. I have sinned. I agree with you. I'm a sinner. I turn away from that." And John would baptize them. They were identifying with John, with his message of repentance. This had to happen. You see, not only was John announcing the deliverer that you've been waiting for thousands of years, this deliverer who's going to deliver you from Satan, sin, and death, the anointed one, the Lamb of God is coming. But if you're going to be ready for his coming, this must happen in your heart. You must acknowledge that you have sinned. You have to acknowledge that you have sinned and turn away from that. And so, now there's more to it, but we're not going to get to it right now. But that's like the first step. God's going to do something. God's going to move, and God's going to do something. That's why I brought that up to us this morning. God's going to move in this church. He's going to move in your life. He's going to do something. Do not hold him back by refusing the first step. The first step is acknowledgement. It's acknowledgement. It's not just in general, oh yeah, I'm a sinner. No, it is, I have turned away from you, God. I am not following you with a whole heart. Or, I'm holding this back from you. Or, I have this thing in my life that I'm hanging on to, this sin. I need to deal with this. And God's saying, yes. I want to move in your life. I want to do something. I want to return you to oneness with me. I want to bless you. I want your favor. I want you to have my favor in your life. But this must happen. He's preparing it. I'm going to tell you something. This is not an easy step. John was a hated and loved man. He brought the truth. You know, he was passionate. People like that. They like to see somebody on fire. But they don't, at the same time, it was a hard, hard message. And we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it today. You want to be sure and kind of stir people up and maybe make them love you, make them hate you? Then you can start talking about their sin or how they're not following God, how they've turned away, how they need to turn back to God. Then that causes trouble. That causes trouble. So let's read on here, verses 5 through 8. Remember, the people that agreed with this message, and they said, that's me, John. You're talking to me. John would baptize them in the River Jordan. He would baptize them. So, verse 5. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where he was baptized, and he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the coming wrath? You know, these guys that he's talking about here, you know, I don't think they had an issue with swearing. You know, I don't think they had an issue with pornography. I don't think they had an issue with, they didn't have a lot of issues that we have. But John was harder on them. So, nobody escapes this. You may have the best reputation in the world. You may be considered a very religious person. The message is still for you. It's still for you. Repent. Repent. And that was John's hardest message, was to those of the, that claimed to be something, to be in leadership, that claimed to have to know the way, claimed to know the word. And then he says this difficult statement. He says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, good. You say you repent. Let's see it in your life. Let's see it in your life. Let's see it in your social media. Let's see it in your relationships. Let's see it in your home. Let's see the fruit of repentance. What is that? A changed life. Changed life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all those things. A concern, a passion for God's purposes in the world. All that is fruit of true repentance. So that's why I said, where's the start? Where's the start to all this? The start is repentance. It's repentance. It's not an easy thing. You struggle with that? Me too. Repentance is not an easy thing. But they were the first steps to be ready for what the deliverer was going to do in the world and in people's lives. They needed to acknowledge. The Pharisees had a real difficulty with acknowledging they were helpless sinners. But he was calling them to that. Be truly sorry, acknowledge the situation and the need. It's always the first step. Okay, down to verse 13. So, Jesus is going to be baptized. What in the world? Okay? Did Jesus need to... So in one way he identified with John's message, but did Jesus need to repent? Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. John recognized who Jesus was and that he did not need to repent. He had not sinned. He did not need to repent. He was perfect. And John knew that he is the one that should be baptized by Jesus. He knew that he needed to repent, or he had repented, maybe as evidence that repentance needed to be baptized. Jesus was identifying with John's message. So in that sense, he could be baptized. It was identification. He was saying, you're right, John. This is what needs to happen for me to do my work in the world, for me to do my work in every single person's life. This is the step. This is the thing that needs to happen. If this has not happened in your life, if it's not happening in your life, then Jesus is not working in your life. Repent. Repent. Verse 16. This takes us back. This identification of who Jesus is. He is the triune God. He is God the Son. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. So there, you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, you have the Father, the voice that's going to speak in a minute here, and you have the dove, the Spirit, lighting on Jesus, the Son. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So, this is sort of like this pinnacle of, now we've been building up all through the Old Testament, and we're building up, and now Jesus is going to do his work. He's going to reveal that he is the Lamb of God, that he is God the Son, that he is the Deliverer. All that's about to be revealed. It's in the process of being revealed. But before it can take effect, before it can impact people's lives, before it can take off into the world, this needs to happen first. The message of John, it's not a full and complete message. It's just the first step. Just the first step. This is the message. Repent. That's John's message to us before Jesus begins his real work in the world. Lord, we know that you know, your timing is perfect, O Lord. You know exactly where we need to be, what we need to hear, what we need to do. Lord, I just pray for every single person that is here, every single person that's a part of this church. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would reveal to us where, how, what we need to repent of. We'd have the courage, we'd have the humility to do it. And Lord, then the doors would be flung open, that you could do your work in our life, that you could do your work in this church, that you could use us as the point of the spear to pierce this world for your purposes and your cause. We open ourselves up to you. In Jesus' name.